Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Tonight, the career of Mary Medeiros began in television production and directing, working for the big three TV networks, winning three Emmys and a Directors Guild Award. Mary Medeiros later studied at the Center for Akashic Studies in Chicago and now works as an advanced Akashic Records practitioner. Mary's first book, The Akashic Way, brings readers insight into the struggles of humans in their daily lives. She's currently working on several film projects, and we'll hear more about this enterprising woman next. Now, here's your Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, my friends. We have an extra special guest on tonight, and a subject or topic that you're familiar with and something that I've always been curious about as well, and that is the Akashic Records, sometimes called the Akashic Fields. And as we know, everything you say, think, experience is recorded somewhere in the great divine. And we have these names, as we have just said. And we're looking forward to having a wonderful interview with a lady that is extremely talented and who has had that moment where going forward in her life in a very popular way, in a very famous way, in a very successful way, has found the spiritual calling, so to speak, to get involved as a practitioner for helping you to find your way through the Akashic Field to records. Tonight, we're going to introduce this lovely lady, and we'd like you to make note of her website and her email address, and you'll be able to get to her. And also, you can come on the show tonight and ask questions. The number, the guest call number is 718-766-4421, as you know. And for those people who are listening in the archive version of the show tomorrow, please make note of Mary's contact information, and she'll be more than willing to answer your emails or to see if she can help you wherever you might be. I want to welcome to the show my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley. Welcome to the show tonight, Doug. We're all excited to talk to Mary. We're going to get to Mary in a moment. Welcome, and it's good to have you back, Doug.
Thank you very much, and I'm very excited, too.
Oh, me too. Okay, so listen, everybody, the website that you can go to will be given out. The email will be here as well. But let's introduce Mary to the show now. Mary, it's wonderful to have you back, have you on the show, and to talk about the Akashic Fields and some of the unique studies and information that you've received. You have, I guess, as a practitioner, you have a couple of certificates as well that you've studied under it. And your background in life certainly would prepare you for this. But as you're here now, we want to welcome you to the show, and we hope we can ask you questions from now to whenever in the past. You'll be able to enlighten us from the Akashic Field. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Well, thank you. And we have a Dr. Douglas and Doug. That's so interesting. So the two Dougs. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
I welcome any opportunity to share about the Akashic Records, because they have become, for me and others, certainly clients of mine, literally a way of life, a wonderful tool for remembering who we are and why we're here. And so I'm open to whatever you gentlemen would love to discuss or questions you want to know about. I think the first one is probably my moment in time, right?
Well, you know, you've been working for three decades in major networks and winning prestigious awards. So when you look at something that is through the eyes of some people that may not be aware, that's a little skeptical or a little uncertain, or they just don't know, you know, would have a critical look at getting involved in this. And so can you maybe go to that point where here you are going through your life and being somewhat a very well-respected person in the entertainment business, and then you made this, let's call it a shift, or you were attracted to the Akashic Records. How did that happen? What got you from, you know, here to there kind of thing.
So the deep reason or the deeper answer for this is I always was there. When I was very little, I remembered I grew up in a Catholic family, and I remembered being in church and feeling the presence of something very, very powerful and beautiful. And, you know, I kind of didn't continue with the Catholic Church, I'll just put it that way, and kind of opened and broadened my perspective to, you know, outside of religion and more open to kind of the all that isness of everything. And I, you know, when I was little, I remembered knowing very little too. And then I just kind of moved through life, as we all do, going through school, friendships, relationships, things like that. An interesting thing, when I was coming out of high school, I was brought up by nuns, or taught by nuns rather, and when I was coming out of high school, I wanted to become a nun, which was, people laughed because that know me now, they'd be like, are you kidding? So there, again, there was this draw to the more divine realm, we'll say, at least in my life at that time. So then went to college, majored in music, came out, and I wound up in television. I always loved storytelling. And so I had these great jobs in New York, and it was wonderful. I mean, you know, I loved my career. There was nothing awful about it at all, really. It was exciting. I do, in retrospect now, remember feeling like something was missing. Let's put it that way. Money was great, all that. But we know that's not everything. And so I was in New York City, grew up in New York, came to L.A., and I was working on a soap opera out here, General Hospital. And then things shifted around, and I wound up, like, my contract wasn't renewed for the very first time ever in my career. So I kind of, this is what I've learned through my work in the records, is that what really was going on was I probably was not following my soul's journey fully, we'll say fully, because everything always becomes an asset in our lives. Every aspect of our lives, I've discovered in my work in the records, has a meaning in the whole picture of why we're here. So to jump to how it happened, I was having a psychic reading in out here in L.A. one time with a woman that I would frequent. And she said to me, she called him a dude. There's this dude over your shoulder, and he's really good looking, and he kind of looks like a genie. And I asked her, well, who is he? And she said, he guards your Akashic records. And I asked her, well, what are those?
This is an invisible person, right? It's not
an invisible, yes, it's an invisible person that she was seeing. Thank you for clarifying. And so and when I asked her, well, what are the Akashic records? She said, I don't know, but that's what he says he does. So, you know, I went home and I looked it up, and it wasn't, you know, bells and whistles weren't going off, but I remembered reading about it and going to myself, wow, I think I know this. And then I kind of went back into my television life a little bit. And then I was at a spiritual bookstore, I don't know how long after, not too long after. And there was this book that was sticking out of the shelf, like really above my head where it would have fallen. And I was the only one in this room, and I looked up and I pulled it down, and it was How to Read Your Akashic Records by Linda Howe. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to get this because this is the second time. And so I read the book, and it was amazing. When I read the book, it was just, I was opening my records, and I began to hear blocks of thought that were not my own. And that's when I knew that I was tapping into my own divine realm. And so even then, I was doubtful and was like, well, how can I do this kind of thing? And so then the third thing that came up was a very dear friend of mine on my birthday. My friends knew what I was tapping into, and they kept reading what was coming through, and they were supporting me and saying, you're tapping into something here. This is really beautiful. And so, again, I was doubtful. We become doubtful at times. And so on my birthday, she had put enough cash in my birthday card to start studying with Linda Howe, the author of that book, who has the Center for Akashic Studies out of Chicago. And so that was the third one. And, you know, it was like, I think I have to do this now. So that's how I started studying, and everything was so beautiful and easy. It was an amazing experience for me. It just got smoother, bigger, better, more fun. And I knew that this is what I was meant to do. And, you know, when we opened the records of others in the beginning, at least when we're studying to be a practitioner, it's important that we're not taking money and we're just offering it, you know, gifting it. And so I was doing that. And the responses and how people were coming away from their own experiencing, I should say, their own Akashic realm was just amazing. And that was then coming back to me and helping me expand even more. So that began mm-hmm. this journey. That's how I became. And I got a practitioner certificate, and then I loved it so much that I took more courses and got an advanced practitioner certificate. So that's how it all happened.
Well, amazing story. You were sort of up right there with the spiritual side, the spiritual influences, incomplete yet still on the path. And then all of a sudden, a book appeared, so to speak. And
yes.
Yeah, very good. I have a similar experience in my life with a book like that too, so I can relate. So for people who might be listening around the world here and across the country, we have several people in the 713-312-208 area code waiting to talk to you. Hang tight, friends. We'll get to you in a little bit. Can you give an overview of what the Akashic records are so that they may have a better understanding with how or what you mean when you say the records?
Sure. I mean, there's been many explanations of the records. They've been around since the beginning of time. And I'm sure your listeners, knowing about you, would know this and what you've written, which is wonderful. It's a dimension of consciousness, we can call it, that contains a vibrational record of every soul and its journey. That would be lifetime after lifetime. It's a quantum divine realm, and the imprint, it's basically a soul's imprint. So it's the imprint of each of our soul as it reincarnates lifetime after lifetime. There's an imprint of our thoughts, our actions, our experiences in our own records. And those records are held. It's a sacred space, and they're held and overseen from what I have come to understand by light energies, divine light energies that protect our own records. And so we're able to, for me, I use a sacred prayer, and we're able to open, every one of us can open our own records. And what we hear, you kind of know that it's not your own thoughts. That's what I can describe it. So it's this experiential body of knowledge that contains everything that every soul has ever, as I said, thought, said, or done. And sometimes people will say, well, where is it? Well, it's kind of everywhere, all at once in the now, always. And because it's divine, it is the all that isness of everything. It's divine love. It is love itself.
Well, I'm looking at your website now. It's called spirittherapybymary.com. And on your website, you have like a hall of records. You have a series of library records, two stories, and books upon books upon books. One of the questions that people sometimes ask is, believing that the soul has this ability to incarnate, and if it can do it once, then why can't it do a second time or a third time? Why can't it do a lot of times? And so each book, I get the reference here, that each of these books represents perhaps a lifetime that people have lived. And through your helping them, they can go back and examine lifetimes. What do they get out of that? I mean, do they? I have my own ideas, but I'm asking you. When they go back and they look in the Akashic field or Akashic records, how can they bring something, or can they find something that they can bring forward to help them in the here and now and give them that empowerment you talk about?
Yes, it's a great question. Well, you know, because we're in a third dimensional, we operate in a 3D world. We sometimes need, people require, you know, they want to have images of things. They want to know, well, what is it? And I understand that, because we're talking about a quantum realm here, right? It's like air. We don't really see it, but we know it's there. So I just wanted to say that first. So past lives. So past lives, usually, at least in my experience and the way that I work in the records, those who come to the records, they come to their own records because they're drawn to their records.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, in my experience over, 10, 15 years now has not been, they come to the records to go to a lifetime. What happens in my sessions and in my readings is my clients come because they have questions about their life. There's something going on. They feel stuck. They're confused. They're just not sure, or they're at a pivotal point and they don't know whether to go over here or over there. And what happens is the opening of their records mirrors their soul's chosen journey. I'm the conduit for it, simply that. It's not a psychic reading. It's different. However, sometimes and quite often, a past life will show itself because it's going to give clarity and solve a problem or an issue in that person's life. And that clarification that comes through from the events of the past life, it moves. It's like a block that moves. And that person experiences more of themselves. So they come away. It's like, I feel like divine just washes over through the reading. It just, the divine source, God, whatever we want to call that beautiful creator source, it just washes over and things become clear. I describe it as if we come to the records, often all of us, including myself, as like a sprocket that's come out of its groove. And when we're in the records talking within our own divine space, we just snap right in. We gently snap into our grooves. And so past lives will quite often come up because and the value of the past lives sometimes and quite often is this. Often we're wondering why we have patterns in our lives. And we go like, I don't get it. Why does this always happen? Why do I keep this or that?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the records, quite often it's a past life. And we know energy doesn't die. And we know DNA is energy. So we actually contain the DNA, the energetic DNA of every single one of our lifetimes right within us at every moment. So we can tap into that, any aspect. So when we find out about a past life, we can actually call forward and use the assets and abilities from that past life in the now time. It's very powerful.
Well, I'm getting the idea that when somebody comes to you for help and they have situations in their life, as you've mentioned, and they get this information from the Akashic field, which is this storehouse of knowledge, you apply that to the circumstance they're in, I gather, and that would help them make a decision or to correct their behavior or give an answer as to why, you know, poor me, why does this keep happening to me? You would be able to come up with that wisdom from the Akashic field. Is that what you do when people come to see you, or am I just, I'm not trying to point it. I'm just trying to see for people who might be listening
how there's
a difference between previous experiences and the information. Go ahead.
Well, we want to sort of, I want to say that the Akasha, when we go into our own records, it's very specific to each one of us. So it's not like, this field. How do I say this? I mean, Edgar Casey was tapping into the Akashic records, Madame Blavatsky, Nostradamus. I mean, and they were bringing forward information about humanity and bigger things and bigger pictures. That's because that was their soul's journey to do that. That's what's been happening for me, by the way, not when I'm doing specific readings. But when I'm doing specific readings, it's specific to that person their own records. It's like opening up their own vault, you know, and there are all their books, if you want to say, referring back to that picture, are there containing everything. And so whatever they're asking, their own books are going to, it's almost like if we did in a movie, but if there were a special effect and all this light started to flow out of their particular book and these words are flowing down and they flow into me through my little brain and out my mouth and I hear these and I'm basically speaking what I'm hearing from their own records. And as that dialogue back and forth with the client happens and their own specific Akashic memories, we'll call it, why not call it that, as though those are coming forward, it reignites in them what they already know. It's a remembering, oh, yes, it's ahas and wonderment and awe and, oh, my God, that's I feel good kind of thing. Well, they're feeling good, not because the records themselves are making them feel good, but the light energies that are the mirror of who they are, they're making themselves feel good. I have clients continually say to me, oh gosh, Mary, you're so good. And I say, well, you are, because the divine moves on the spoken word. And we know that from sacred tones throughout history. You can pick up a sacred book and certain sacred books, and they feel, probably the scrolls are an example, and you feel something. You actually feel something. That's because the divine energy, which never dies, is still there and around, and it moves on the spoken word. And that's why the readings are so, I want to say palpable maybe, because the divine moving through as we speak is reigniting this remembrance of that person. And then they begin to understand and they remember who they are. It's like when you remember something, you go, great, I know what to do now. And then
it kind of makes sense as to what's going on with them and things like that. Is that
yes,
what you were saying?
Yeah. And to be more technical about this, what often happens, actually always happens, is the Akashic Records will, let's say a client asks the question, you know, I'm concerned about whatever, blah, 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 blah. Then the records, and I listen, and the records will ask the client through me a question. And when they answer that question, which is really the question is coming from themselves, their light energies will say, their answering of their own questions resolves their issues. It's really beautiful, and I watch it in action constantly. It's so beautiful.
So people come to you with a concern, and let's say, why am I, when I go to work for somebody, why do I always have a boss that browbeats me and yells at me and belittles me, and I quit the job, I go someplace else, and I get the same thing going on, and then at the second job, and, you know, am I cursed? Is the world punishing me for something? Was I a executioner back in the Middle Ages? You know, what is going on? How would you handle
you
that?
That's so funny. You know, you're so psychic. My gosh. Well, that was me. So thank you for bringing me to the table here. I had petty tyrant after petty tyrant after petty tyrant throughout my career. And I kept kind of going home at night getting upset and going, why? And, of course, a little bit of Abraham Hicks here. I was screaming no at it, and the universe only knows yes, so I got more of it. So there was that. But besides that, what I came to discover by working on this myself in my own records is what Bruce Lipton refers to as, you know, his work in the idea of the subconscious patterns that we develop, and the records affirm a lot about, constantly, about these subconscious patterns that also can be from a past lifetime. It also can be simply lineage, which is different. And so in the case of the petty tyrant, well, you know, I love using me as an example because I've been through all this stuff that all of us go through, so I think it brings value to when I'm working with people. But I had a bully brother. And he really bullied me pretty badly of my three brothers. And it was during the time when the subconscious is formed, which is, I think, third trimester through 7 years old. And the subconscious is just a recording device. It records our backgrounds during those years, the attitudes around us, the belief systems around us, everything. And we now know the subconscious science is showing that the subconscious runs 96%.
Panic everything rang up at 4:49.
What was that?
Well, we got some feedback someplace here. Paul, the microphones are shut off, are they? Got some feedback. Okay, keep going. Okay, you were saying?
So we know that the subconscious runs 96% of our lives from the background. So if we discover, and the records bring this up constantly, a subconscious pattern of having been bullied, meaning we were shut down or we had no voice, and often people who are traumatized when they're little, they learn that they're not worthy. No one has shown them that they are light, we'll say that, and love. And so we go through life and the subconscious just searches for more of that, you know, manifesting more of that. And in the case of somebody who's just constantly, you know, having bad, creepy bosses or, you know, being bullied, it's probably it could be a subconscious pattern from this lifetime, or it could be, as you had said, they could have been a person.
A bit of a bully themselves.
Well, I got charged more.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. A bully themselves.
I apologize. We're getting some feedback or crossover here from something on the whatever's going on there, Mary. So I apologize to everybody on the internet. We're having a little glitch. I know the platform has recently had an upgrade. So we have somebody crossing over or walking on us, I think they call it. So getting back to your story, you were saying that go ahead.
Yeah, it's complete. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes, it can be a past life. It could be a pattern, you know, one of these sneaky little subconscious patterns from our own childhood. And what is beautiful about learning about this, because moving forward, what do we do with it, right, when we know this? We can look at the energy of, let's say it's trauma, and we can actually look at the energy of the trauma, not the trauma itself.
There
the
was
record,
not a third not, one. Then we took off that one.
Yeah, we
so
go
you
again.
Gave me the organic everything.
I don't know. Paul, can you fix it? We got somebody stepping on us here. We got crossover internet feed.
No, Douglas, on the air, we're not hearing anything on the feed going out.
Okay, Mary and I, you can hear that. Mary, can you hear somebody talking over?
Yes,
no?
And I heard it too. Yes.
Yeah.
We can keep going. I mean, I'm fine.
We can keep going. It's not. It's actually not going out over the air. So unfortunately, there's a problem on your end, but it. Good thing is it's not audible by the listeners.
Okay.
Wonderful.
So Mary, we'll just pretend that we didn't hear that. So as you were really explaining some important points, the idea that people have reoccurring problems, as I alluded to, you know, the same problem over and over and over again, I've kind of diluted that down to this is a spiritual lesson that's being played out here. And that leads into, you know, karma, patterning, with the person having a pattern. And some of the points that you brought up about being programmed even when you're younger. So when you wrap that up, when somebody comes there, well, let's keep going with your story. I mean, how did you resolve this issue about being bullied by people, not just one source, but two or three sources, it sounded like. How did you resolve that?
Well, what we can do, you know, and I refer to Dr. Bruce Lipton again because he's just brought wonderful information forward through his own journey. But what he says is we can record over those subconscious patterns. And what the records further say is that we can actually mine, M-I-N-E, the energy of those patterns once we know them, once we know it's a pattern. The good news is they're not ours. In other words, we didn't physically in this lifetime, if it is this lifetime, create those patterns. They were recorded, you know, by our subconscious when the subconscious was forming itself. And so if we look at the energy and so what does that mean? You know, and I can give a really good example of that. There was a client that I had, and he referred to a life that he had that was awful before the now. He's now a shaman. And he said, you know, I was awful. I refer to that time period in my life as I was mad dog. And he said, I hated everyone. I would yell at homeless people on the street. And the records in his reading suggested, again, his own light energy through me suggested, let's look at Mad Dog. What was the energy like of Mad Dog? And he said, extremely powerful. And so then the suggestion came forward, what if we took that energy and flowed it right through Shaman? His name was Greg, Shaman Greg. And he just went, whoa. You know, again, people have to be open to receive a dose of themselves, I like to say, because that's really what this is about. And so to mine the energy. So, for example, if we were shut down when we were children, and we know all the ways that kids have been shut down, and it still happens today. And so if we're shut down, we're not allowed to have our voice, we don't understand, we're not shown that we are love, we're not loved, then what we can do is, what is that energy? The energy is, it's very powerful to be shut down. There's a power to that, and there's a power, it's an energetic power. And so if we just harness, I like the word mine, that power, and flow it through the light aspects of ourselves, it transmutes. It doesn't go away. It's part of our experiences. We don't want to get rid of the trauma. It feeds into who we are and why we're here. It always does. And so, but we can mine that, and we can bring it in to the light that we are and the light parts of ourselves. And if we're able to do that, the first thing we have to do is realize a pattern, even from a past life, and go, oh, no wonder. And that's what happens usually. It happened for me when I started opening my records and working on healing my own past wounds, which I had to do before becoming a practitioner. I would have all these ahas and woes because I would understand why I had repeating things happening that I didn't understand. And then my records themselves would speak to me and show me, you know, I like to say show me the light, but they would show me why these things were happening. And it was, for me, related, a lot of it was related to my childhood. And once I saw the connection, that's all we need to do. And I went, oh, gosh, yes. And then it doesn't have a hold on us anymore. Now it's just sort of, I like to say, it's like next to us. The pattern's still there, but it's kind of next to us. It's not running our lives from the background. And then we can look at it, and then we can look at the energy of it and play around with that a little bit and bring that energy into the whole being that we are, because we are all whole beings. We all come in and onto this planet as whole, complete beings. And the records remind us constantly of that. So,
well, may I say, it's kind of like they come to a transitional point where, you know, they're wondering, they're in pain, they're feeling hopeless. They come and see you, and you wrap it up and put it all together and say, well, think about this, and their information from the Akashic, either the wisdom to solve the problem. In other words, okay, you're a landlord and your tenants continue to abuse you and they move out on you and they wreck the place. What is the one thing that you're learning from this? What is the one thing you're not doing? You're obviously a very nice person. You're trying to be loving. And yet you meet these tenants one after the other. And each of your four or five apartments, they all have this, somebody selling drugs, somebody's beating up on their kids, somebody's cheating on their wife, and somebody's, you know, doing something illicit, you know. And each of the apartments has the same person in the same one after the other, and they move out and they abuse you. What is it that you're not doing? Well, I'm not making them live up to their responsibilities to me as a landlord. I'm not making them take care of my place. I'm not making them pay their rent on time. And, okay, so what's the one thing that you're avoiding? Well, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I don't want to take anybody to court. I don't want to evict anybody. Well, Mr. or Miss Landlord, that's your responsibility as a landlord, because if you keep losing money, you're going to lose your apartment building, and then nobody's going to be able to be helped by you. Oh, ding. So what is it I need to do? Well, make them sign leases. They don't fulfill their obligations or responsibilities. You take them to court, every single one. oh my God, what that's terrible, all that stress and going to court. Yes, but you're a landlord. This is the world you live in. This is the rules that you have to take care of. And so the person goes and they, you know, with great difficulty, they do that. And what happens? Well, all of a sudden, no more problems with tenants, because the tenants know if you don't live up to the responsibilities, the landlord's going to invoke some serious consequences. And other tenants go to leave, the good ones come in, and all of a sudden the whole building's in harmony, because the person trying to be the goody-goody landlord was getting beat up all the time. Because, you know, you've probably heard this before, a giver always meets a taker. And so would you agree that getting to that point is trying to find, in your consultations as a practitioner, getting to that person to say, okay, what is it you're avoiding doing, dreading doing? that's maybe what you need to do. What do you think?
Well, I think that outcome, what you described as the outcome, the actions to take, is the positive outcome. And those actions, I believe, would not happen unless we look at why that person, the landlord, was attracting those clients to begin, those tenants to begin with. And that's right. Where the records come in. So we would look at, the records wouldn't even care who didn't pay their rent, who's doing this or that, but they would say, let's talk about what it is that, you know, like, why are you attracting this? Because no matter what actions you take, if you don't know why you're attracting it, it eventually will just come back again and again. That's why the bullies keep showing up. So that's, again, where we get to look at and dig in through dialoguing on, you know, feeling into what the person thinks it's from. And then sometimes, quite often, people want to just stay in the now and tell the bad story and go, well, they did this and I did that, and, you know, victim, right? But then the records are such a gentle, well, divine, just gentle and loving, just questions here and there. And as the people answer their own questions, something seems to soften and open up. And then that softening and open up and safety, feeling safe in this space, it's a sacred space. The records are a sacred space always. And the sessions are sacred. You can feel it. It's a higher vibrational field. And so then what happens is, as the softening and opening happens, we can go, and I will be directed by, I'll hear the records ask through me, talk about, did you have, and I will get specific things sometimes, like, did you have a, it could be, you know, did you have a bully, brother, sister, whatever, things come up. What was going on with your mother and father? That'll come in sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it never fails that personal vote. Well, and then they tell it. And it's like, whoa. And then we come to find out that, you know, it relates to exactly why they were manifesting those people who were taking advantage of them, basically. And so what happens is, interestingly enough, even this is what I discovered, once that those ahas happen, then it almost wouldn't even matter if they required them to sign leases and do that. Well, the thing, it almost wouldn't matter. It would happen anyway. It's very interesting.
Yeah, well, so in other words, go ahead.
What's that? Oh, well, or the inspired action would come from the knowing of where it came from. Because when we have continual things happening, it's very easy. We all fall into this, especially in this chaotic world right now. Oh, look what's happening to me. Look what's happening to us. Look what they're doing to us, them and us. And it's like a merry-go-round going crazy. And what we have to all begin to do is look at, why am I manifesting that? Why am I manifesting this over and over again? Because it doesn't mean it's my fault. There is no such thing as that, really. It's more like, why am I bringing this to me? I'd like to find out more about this. And that's where the clarity starts to happen. And then the inspired actions from the clarity are just beautiful. They just unfold.
Mm-hmm.
It's really pretty powerful.
Listen, everybody, we're talking to this wonderful lady who is giving us some wisdom here. And we'd like you to go to her website, which is Spirit therapybymary.com. We're going to be right back after a short break with more about the Akashic Records and Mary's experience. She's a three-time Emmy Award-winning personality. She has, for 30 years, been in show business, talking and experiencing with the CBS, NBC, and ABC television. And she has a lot of work in front of her. You've got a TV series coming out. You're working in a movie situation, I think, here. We'll be right back after more. And the number to call is 718-766-4421 if you want to talk to Mary. Right back after this.
For many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Who is God?
What's my purpose?
What do my dreams mean?
What are miracles?
What are spiritual abilities?
Was I in a past life?
Who is my soulmate?
What is meditation?
Are your thoughts racing around on what life is or how to live it? Slow down. Find answers in Dr. Douglas James Cottrell's book, Secrets of Life, now available at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon.
One of the most poignant topics of discussion in today's world is the evidence of earthly changes and what began as what the media called global warming. Did you know our Global Village host wrote the most detailed predictive book about the future of our planet? The New Earth is a book that drills down to specific events, many of which have already come true. But much more than severe weather patterns, seismic eruptions, the New Earth tells us how to prepare and understand how societies and governments will be forced to accommodate these future events. Originally published as The New Renaissance, the updated manuscript is one of Dr. Douglas Cottrell's best-selling books. Pole shift, coastal and inland changes, volcanoes and earthquakes, rising temperatures, specific landmass changes, healing our emotional health during these changes, and so much more. Go to DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com. That's DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com for immediate access to your printed copy of The New Earth.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Welcome back to the Global Village with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. And tonight's guest, Mary Medeiros, three-time Emmy Award winner, along with the Directors Guild of America Award. Now working as an advanced Akashic Records practitioner and author of The Akashic Way, offering insight from the Akashic field with help for individuals to understand why they're living at this point in time and helping bring joy, grace, health, and self-empowerment to all souls searching for a better life. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
And we're back. Thank you, everybody, for letting us come into your living rooms, wherever you might be in the world. My guest tonight is a very talented lady. She's very productive in her professional career, and now her spiritual work is profound. I encourage you to go to her website again, and that is SpiritTherapyByMary.com. Mary, I see lots of testimonials on your website as well. For people who want to get a hold of you, how's the best way? How can they contact you?
Well, you can reach me through the website itself. There's a contact page there. Or you can just email me at adivinerealm@gmail.com. So that's adivinerealm@gmail.com.
Well, there you go, my friends. I encourage you to go to the website. I encourage you to have a look at Mary's new book. Her first book is out. It's I think it's called The Akashic Way, Mary.
It's not out yet. It's upcoming, so we'll say that. I'm almost done.
Well, everybody, make a note, write it down, and you can email Mary or go to the website. It's going to be there. I'm sure with all your awards mm-hmm. in show business that this is going to be a bestseller. And
thank you.
And your comments tonight, you know, your perspective on the records, as you call it, opening the records, that's a new phrase. I haven't heard that one before, but it makes perfect sense. So people come, they have a concern, an issue that they can't seem to get help mm-hmm. anyplace else. Mm-hmm. You open up the records and you give them information, direction, wisdom, and they go away. Of reading some of the testimonials on your website, they just love you. This is amazing. You've gotten information for them. How long have you been doing this, Mary?
Since about 2008 is when I really started.
That's a long
and
time.
And it's just, it's been unfolding as I work with more and more people. And it's been unfolding in that way. If I may address this title, The Akashic Way, the reason it became that, I think my older title is on my website, is that when we live our, this is what I've come to understand in my own life and in people around me who understand the records and have opened their own records, is that when we look at our lives through the lens of our own Akashic records, through that perspective, we're always being directed back to why our soul chose to come here at this time. Mm. And that, of course, is based on the idea and the belief that we think we do choose as a soul to come into each lifetime. And I believe that. And that is what
Me
I've
too.
Learned, yeah, that the records are about, that we have this choice, we come in. And sometimes people get a little confused because they say, well, you're telling me I chose to come in and be abused and things like that. Well, no, we don't choose the specifics. But our soul chooses, and like an overarching theme, like self-love or to participate in, here's a big one, all of the souls that died in 9/11 may have, everything is possibility, on a deep soul level, agreed to participate in a grand design of global love. Because look what happened to the whole planet when that happened. And so, you know, we look at these events in those ways, and when we do, we see that everything has its own purpose. And it's very interesting to look at it that way. It doesn't mean that it's not condoning bad things that happen to people at all. However, when we look at these events, these really big events that affected mankind in great ways, and we look at what happened around them or after them, it's pretty amazing when we look at it from that perspective. So if we can look at our own lives in that way, so that we're looking at things that we thought were awful, then we're not victims anymore. There's records even say there's no such thing as a victim. There are only choices. And that's it. And the records even say there's no right or wrong. There's just choice and choice and choice. And so living through this lens as this resource becomes a way of life. It's like the Akashic Way. And it kind of just came to me. It just was downloaded somehow to me. And I thought, wow, that is what this is. Because, I mean, it is a really wonderful go-to resource. And what better resource than going to our own selves? It's our own divine inner selves that we're tapping into. It's not outside of ourselves. It's inside of ourselves. And that's why I say, you know, it's not the library out there and it's not sitting at the center of the earth and all of that. It really is. It exists quantumly inside ourselves. And all we're doing is we're unraveling whatever's around it because of life, how life can get in the way. And we uncover it and we reveal that greater inner self, which is, of course, love.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm of the opinion that, you know, we have life lessons and the soul's here for a specific purpose. It has memory, how you were with the Catholic Church and the nuns and close to spiritual churchy ideas and different things like that. Probably, you know, you were walking at the time of Christ and maybe were part of his followers. And so you kind of spill over from that. You have that practical knowledge, wisdom, and you bring it forward in the records, of course. Yeah. And so you're close to it. And then you need something to wake you up a little bit, you know, and say like, whoa, yeah, it's kind of like I was close to it all this time, and here it is. I think before the show we talked about how you walked into this spiritual life. I did the same myself. I was headed in a different direction and ended up where I am. And it was like, you know, the old saying, God works in mysterious ways. And we go like, okay, but there's more to that statement than meets the eye. And the idea that you're helping people, you know, take responsibility, look within. And I'm sure there are people who don't care to do that. They don't want to know anything about that, you know. As far as they're concerned, life is a beginning, a middle, and the end, and that's it. But when those people are looking, they can come and, from reading your website, again, it's spirittherapybymary.com. There's some great testimonials here, and Mary explains it very well in what she does. So I encourage everybody, you know, who's listening to my voice tonight to go and have a look at how to get a hold of Mary. And the idea of opening the records, well, really, do you think that there are some things that people can't see or shouldn't see or they're not ready to see yet?
No, well, I don't believe so, because it's surrendering to Source. And Source is the all-loving everything, and it's not going to do anything bad to us. So we're always going, what my experience is and what I have seen over and over is when we ask, we do receive what it is exactly what we're needing and what we can handle, you know, at that time. I don't believe there's anything that comes from divine that we cannot, in quotes, handle.
Mm-hmm.
It just it just always feels right. And for those who maybe are not, you know, moving in this direction, it may be because their soul's journey is another kind of journey, and that's good too, you see. So we're all here for different purposes, which is what makes, I think, life on the planet very interesting. A little confusing at times, but very interesting.
Well, I'd like to say that we're all in the same path, going in the same direction, all together, individually. There are people who are seekers. There are people who are a little lethargic. There are people who are just unbelievers. There are people who are believers. And that wake up moment comes to us all. In my experience, in myself, in my life, and others, it comes when the person is ready. And when the person isn't ready, no matter what, and this is why we shouldn't go out, you know, trying to convince everybody that, hey, we found the truth, you know, the Akashic field, the Akashic records, you know, soul memory. You have a lesson to learn here. This is really important. And somebody's going, can, you know, pass the ketchup. I won't eat my lunch.
Well,
you know?
Well, that's why I never do that. I actually don't even market. Yeah, we'll use the word market, the records. It just feels funny to me. It's just people come, they're drawn to their records. I feel honored to, you know, have been sort of tapped on the shoulder by divine itself to be doing this. And every day I feel honored about it. It feels just wonderful. I have to also say that I did discover that I had a past life as a cloistered nun.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but I thought so.
you knew it, didn't you?
What was that like?
Oh, it was beautiful. It felt like it's why I was drawn to Hildegard von Bingen. She just kind of came to me. I didn't even know who she was when I was living in New York, and I was drawn to her music. I majored in music in college, and I was also drawn in college to study Gregorian chant. Now, who studies that? I've been studying that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that made sense too. But I just anything around that time period. It was quiet and beautiful. It wasn't creepy. I mean, we've seen, you know, depictions of those kinds of time periods where nuns were cloistered. It wasn't like that. It was actually very beautiful.
Well,
which by the way, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say it's a place full of love. I'm sure there's stories about some not so nice places, but being in a religious community where there's love, it's got to be one of the most wonderful experiences one could have.
Yes. Yes. And
I don't remember being a monk, so I can't. I'm smiling.
I
was
going
to ask you. Oh, Doug was?
If I may
go ahead, Doug.
Comment. I'm very impressed, and I think it's wonderful that you can help people, and how gratifying that you can do that. It's a great honor, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Just to make a slightly tangential comment, you don't need confirming. Of course, you've got all these anecdotal statements, but from my own personal experience, I know the truth of what you're saying, because I was experiencing extreme phobia, and it wasn't until I found out that many, 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 many centuries ago, I went through a particular trauma that was causing this. And once I was aware of it and I was able to work through it, the phobia very quickly went away. So just to confirm, from my own personal perspective, there's 100% truth in a great deal of what you say.
That's great, though, that opened. It's like freedom, right? Because it makes
It was so gratifying. Mm-hmm. It was so gratifying finally to get over this debilitating phobia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had clients that have had really awful past lives. I mean, where, you know, they're in shock during the reading, being knifed in the throat, all kinds of things.
Mm.
When we're in the records, we're being held in the sanctity of our own divine selves, right? So nothing is going to harm us. And so it's just a matter of just staying with it. And then what happens is, you know, it's not a memory anymore. It's more a realization. So the memory becomes a realization of the now. And then I guess that's what happened for you, Doug. And it can be really freeing. So I'm happy for you that happened.
I'm very happy for myself, too.
Isn't that amazing, Mary, that people, if they're listening to what Doug had just said and what you were saying earlier, people have this baggage through the years, through the centuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the present moment in this life, they have this opportunity to work through it, to come to some realization and then release it, like Doug was saying. Do you have anybody in mind that you could give an example of that was very impressive to you? Any favorite story kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm just thinking right now. Because the other thing that I want to add to this is that it feels like it's releasing, because a suggestion here that what it is it's releasing, we're allowing the moment, let's call it in Doug's case his past, right, that we're releasing its hold on you is released, but the event is still there, the past life is still there, so the records would suggest that we're not letting it go, because there's something about that event that actually can become an asset for us in our present life. Sometimes that's a tough one, because people think, well, I was murdered or I was beheaded. You're saying I have to, remember that, or, you know, feel like, I don't know, keep that around. It's like, no, But we can look at that past life and look at why that was happening in the past life, because it had meaning in that past life. And so when we look at the meaning of that event or whatever it was, sometimes there's wonderful stories, not all bad ones. And when we look at the meaning of it, that meaning then, it when it comes forward into our lives now, it can bring another aspect. It unravels or it reveals another aspect of ourselves that can become an asset. That's the power of the Akashic Records. Now, I'm not doing it. It's the power of divine. And divine says everything that happens is happening according to a soul's journey, lifetime after lifetime. And the records also say there is no having to pay for something for the past. They've even said, I think it may be a chapter in one of my books, but they've even said that there's no such thing as karma. There's just choice. And simply that. Like, life gets a lot simpler, I notice, when we're looking through the lens of the records. I think mankind tends to complicate things, and that's with our perspectives, because we have these perspectives of things, and then that divides people, and then it becomes them and us and you and me and all of that duality stuff. Mm-hmm. And when the records just whittle it all down to the basics, which is everything that happens is there's a meaning to it. We'll say that, not a reason, but a meaning to it. So we can cull all of the aspects of past lives into the meaning of our lives right now, and then our lives become fuller. So those past lives, if they're negative, they don't have a grip on us like it did for you, Doug. Obviously, that phobia was a grip on you, and once you saw that, it's like doesn't have its grip anymore, right? That's why it probably felt freeing. And there's probably something, I don't know if you learned more about that past life, Doug, but there may be aspects of that life that are assets for you right now. It can turn into
an
asset.
Yes, there are. There are definitely assets. I come to realize
Wonderful.
That as well. So.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So, people, the number to, or the email is, to the website, first of all, is spirittherapybymary.com. And Doug's getting a little therapy lesson here just now from Mary. So for more of the same, go to her website and make contact with her, or they can contact you through the email again. What is it, Mary?
Oh, it's adivinerealm@gmail.com.
Okay. That's a different email than I was given earlier. That's why I'm asking you to repeat it. So this is good. We have people waiting in the phone. Some of you have been waiting and clicked off and clicked on, and we have people that might be here just listening. We have half a dozen people in the queue right now. Paul, do we mm-hmm. have people listening, or were they up to asking a question to Mary?
Well, we're having technical difficulties tonight, and we're going to have to go to our callers directly from the studio. And if we're ready, we can take our first caller.
Okay, well, let's take a few calls and see. This again, they've just updated their platform here last week, and we apologize mm-hmm. everyone for having these glitches here, and for also the callers that are there. So let Paul know if you're just listening, or if you have a question. Mary, we would love to hear a question. We'll be go right to the calls. Where are we going next, Paul?
We're going to the 773 area code. Hello, you're on the air with Douglas, Doug, and Mary.
This is Carol from Chicago.
Hello, Carol.
Hello. What I wanted to find out is if one says the Akashic prayer, can one happen to the Akashic records if you say the prayer all the time?
Oh, great question, Carol. Thank you. Yes. There are a couple of things that I think will make opening your own records happen easier. Okay. It's not just the prayer. One is obviously a belief in Source Creator. Also a belief that we do, as I said earlier, our souls incarnate lifetime after lifetime. There's, that's very important to have that belief. And the other part of it is if you have the willingness and the desire and you have issues that you want to work through, yes. The process that I use it comes from, and I suggest that, you know, people do, you know, look up the book that brought me to the records, which is by Linda Howe, H-O-W-E, Linda Howe, and it's called How to Read the Akashic Records. And she's wonderful. She's written 6 books with Hay House, and she takes you through the process in the book, and the pathway prayer is in there. And it's beautiful. And what will happen is when you start it, there's some people that will do it or try it, and then they sit. I've had people come back to me and say, I've done it, but I sit there and I don't hear anything. Well, I don't have an answer for that exactly, right? We'd have to probably open their records to find out what it is. Maybe there's some kind of a block. I don't know. But you'll be, Carol, what would happen is you'll begin to hear thoughts that are not your own. And what I encourage people to do when they're doing that, after they say the pathway prayer, is to write down. I sit at my computer. Just write down what you're hearing. Ask your questions while you're in your own records, and you just write down what you're hearing. And just go with the flow and see what happens.
Now, do you put down one question, or do you put down 2 or 3?
You can. There's no limit. You can ask whatever. I would start with, you know, the one that is the most pressing one for you in the moment. I would do that instead of, like, opening your records with a list. Because what you want to do is you want to be kind of in a state where you can just really receive. It's kind of like, it feels like a download, but you'll just receive something. And if you have a whole list of questions, it might clutter it up. I don't know. That's just what I'm thinking. So I would just start with one, maybe 1 or 2, and you'll see. Watch what happens. The records themselves will begin. Your records will begin to impart to you your answer. And quite often, the records ask us questions, and then when we answer our own questions, that's where we come to clarity.
And then I have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the Akashic Records, you can read the past, present, and the future. In your readings, do you read more of the future, or do you read more of the past when people come to you?
What comes up is exactly what everyone needs, first of all. And so I don't, whatever comes up. Now, past lives will come up if accessing that past life or knowing about that past life is going to offer clarity around that question or dilemma, whatever it is. And with future, I'd like to call it future probabilities. It's more about the probabilities of what will happen. Those just begin to unfold. So, you know, with psychic readings, which are also wonderful, psychics can tap more into streams that can show us. Even it's been said about psychic readings that they're based on the energy of now. If the now keeps continuing, then the future will look like whatever. So let's refer to it as future probabilities. And so, yes, you will get a sense of the future probabilities. You'll just feel them. They'll come to you. This is really receiving. It's a receiving of who we are, a mirror of who we are.
Now, you made a point, and I'm going to get off here because I think Kyle Trevor will kick me off.
Not at all, Carol. You're doing wonderful. Carol's a regular here, Mary. She asks amazing questions. Go ahead. And
you
she's
made
in Chicago, just your old stomping grounds for where you learned how to do the reading the Akashic records.
That's where Linda's place is. Yes, Linda's center. Mm-hmm.
The question I was asking, you said, it's not about karma, it's about choices. So if you make choices, there has to be a consequence. Now, maybe they don't call it that because it's of Indian descent or something. But if you make a choice, you're going to have to get a consequence. So in your Akashic records, aren't they numerous causes and effects, or numerous choices and consequences?
Well, the idea of the records is that we're living in the now all the time. The Eckhart Tolle's, you know, work. Where if we could just be in the now, which is all that exists all the time anyway, is the now and the now, and then tomorrow's another now, And so if we're always in the now, then we don't even have to think about consequences. We make choices. This doesn't, you know, the records are not implying that we can make a choice and not be responsible for what happens after a choice that we've made. We can look at the actions or the events that happen from a choice, and then we can look at those events that have happened resulting from a choice through the lens of the records and see what the meaning of that is. And that would be, you know, then you'd be in another now. So it's a little trippy to think of now, but it is what we have. And the now is really very full all the time.
Yeah, this is the best thing. It's just because, like, you have some people like sub-psychics or something, or they'll say, well, I can't understand why I can't help you. And sometimes you can't help that person because of the choices that they have made. They have to sort of right their wrong or learn how the other person felt when they did it to them. So that's why some things are predestined, because you have to go through these things in order for you to learn your lesson, and, you know, not to be punitive, like Dr. Cottrell says, I understand it now, but to see how the other person felt when you did it to them, good or not so good.
So a tweaking of that, Carol, would be yes. I mean, it would be yes. The thing is, if you're in your divine center, if you know you are divine source, love, that is, you know, the creator is in us and we are that, then we would naturally care about other people's feelings. We wouldn't have to do it as a rule in order to right the wrong, do this or do that. We just naturally would. It becomes way simpler when we're just coming from love and, you know, and knowing that we're love. And so if we make a mistake, or if we take an action that causes harm, if that happens, if we know who we are, then we would probably recognize that action and do something about it with love. And so I think it starts there.
Okay. And if you get time, I'd like to interview you at some point.
Sure. Okay. I'd be more than happy to.
I'll email you.
Okay. Email me. Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. Okay. Stand by. And if we have people, I recognize people are standing in the queue here. Take care, Carol. Thank you very much for being, again, participating in the show and asking some really pointed questions. Paul, we're going to maybe go to a short break and then come back. And hopefully we can take some more calls before the end of the show. Are you okay? You got some extra time, Mary, to keep going a bit?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we'll take a short break. Be right back after this and more with Mary Medeiros and her amazing take on the Akashic Way. And she is a practitioner. She's been doing this for a long time. She's very good at what she does. Please go to her website and check her out. And you will be impressed, okay? And that website, again, is spirittherapybymary.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. The Douglas James Cottrell website is where you can learn much more about this amazing man and his journey through a lifetime of spiritual prophecy. The book Secrets of Life answers questions everyone has about the physical versus the spiritual world, why you are here in the world right now, karma, psychic abilities, reincarnation, prayer, and much more about universal laws. This book is essential for those who really desire to follow the path of the divine to soul perfection.
Douglas has been chosen to provide you with a keen insight into the purpose of life's journey. Best-selling author Robert Appel says, "The least you can expect from Dr. Cottrell's work is that it will change your life." Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop for Secrets of Life and all of his books and learning materials. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must-read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. Welcome back to the Global Village with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host Doug Bentley. And tonight's guest, Mary Medarius, three-time Emmy Award winner, along with the Directors Guild of America Award. Now working as an advanced Akashic Records practitioner and author of The Akashic Way, offering insight from the Akashic field with help for individuals to understand why they're living at this point in time and helping bring joy, grace, health, and self-empowerment to all souls searching for a better life. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back, my friends. Mary Medarius is here, and we're having an amazing show tonight. We're having a look into her life's work as a practitioner and finding the Akashic Way, where she offers insights and sort of puts things together for you. Having a block, you having a problem, you having a concern. It sounds like her technique is extremely successful. I encourage you to go to her website, spirittherapybymary.com. That's an easy one to remember, spirittherapybymary.com. It's wonderful having you on the show tonight. We have a time for a few more questions here. And again, mm-hmm. I apologize to everybody and those people tomorrow listening around the world in the archive version. The email still works. By the way, we have a new one that you might want to do more about the Zoom Sunday service. And that's schooloftheprophets.com. It's a brand new one, schooloftheprophets.com. And you can find out more about the information on the International School of the Prophets.com about our Sunday spiritual virtual healing services. So thank you for your previous emails, my friends. That's the new email you can get directly, schooloftheprophets.com. So, Paul, we want to roll the dice here tonight. Mary sounds like she's just warming up. She's just getting getting good at answering questions. Okay.
Absolutely.
Let's roll the dice and see where we go. Here we go, Mary.
All right. We're okay. Going to the 312 area code. Hello, you're on the air. Good evening.
Oh, hi. This is Karen from Chicago.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. I wanted to you had a point about 15 years ago, I had one of those Akashic readings, and I was very heartbroken at that time. I wanted a boyfriend so bad, but they had told me that I was going to meet a man named Frank, and when they told me, I knew no one named Frank at all, and I said, well, okay, you know, it kind of made me feel better that I was going to meet somebody. 15, maybe even 20 years later, I have my boyfriend now, and his middle name is Frank. And I always kind of felt comforting that I knew that somebody named Frank was going to come by, but his name's Franklin, actually. But I was very pleased that, you know, I think what you said, that sometimes you may get an answer, but it doesn't fit until, you know, the time is right. So very pleased about that.
That is how it works. Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Good for you.
I got to ask you the question. You know, every lady goes looking for that Prince Charming, and apparently have to kiss a toad for that to make Prince Charming appear. Everybody knows that. That's a karmic law, I think.
Yeah.
So did you have any other friends named Frank along the way, or was this the only one that showed up?
None.
Seriously.
Okay. And this was just it just happened that we hit it off. We were friends, and then I only knew him by his first and his last name. And then as we got to know each other, I found out that was his middle name, Franklin.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Wow.
I have a question, Karen, for you. Sure. So did you describe the qualities of the person that you were looking for in a relationship?
Yes. When I was telling the lady, I had a very bad boyfriend at that time, but I was telling her that I was looking for somebody, you know, that would treat me very well and we have a lot of fun with. And that was the person that I found 15 years later. That was kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
no, not at all. It makes sense. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And it came at the right time, too. So we're settled now. It was 10 years ago. So.
And the thing is, you didn't know his name was Frank or Franklin until after you hooked up.
Yeah.
That's intriguing to me. Maybe Mary, too. This is the way the universe works.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So maybe it wouldn't have even mattered what his name was.
Right. Right. I just thought it was so weird that weird because none of the people that I knew, even in my circles, were people, friends of friends, that I never knew that anybody would be named Frank. And so, it was just kind of one of those things that just kind of happened. By the way, my middle name is something, we were talking about middle names, and I was shocked. So, yeah.
Confirmation and the fact that you remembered it 15 years later. That's very profound, too. That's telling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So things are going good. Things are going good.
Yeah. I'm packing now. We're going to be moving in together. I'm still packing. I'm still packing. I'll be shortly moving in with him at the end of the month. So.
Paul, don't we have some sort of sound effect? Don't we have some sort of sound effect for congratulations? You know, good for you.
It's clapping.
Yeah. It's going the right direction. So.
There we go.
There it is.
We have one of two sound effects. Well, listen, congratulations on that. I'm intrigued. And for the people listening, this was years before you have somebody giving you an Akashic reading and they tell you somebody's coming named Frank. Nobody shows up before that. You meet this person, you fall in love. And then he tells you the good news that his name's Frank. Wow.
Yes.
That's a story.
Yes.
That's a good story. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we wish you well. Yes. And, you know, like some of the other callers that call in from time to time, we want to hear the updates now. You know, we want to know how it goes when you, you know, get to the new place and, you know, Shangri-La and all those good things, you know.
I will. As soon as I get finished packing. I'll be packing all tonight again. I got the whole month.
Good luck
on
your packing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show tonight. It was really a pleasure to hear this. It's for me anyway. I like to hear good stories like that. Okay, Paul, we're lucky. We've got time for a couple more calls.
We're going to the 208 area code, Douglas. 208 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, Rob. This is Michael.
Good evening,
Idaho.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. How's Idaho tonight?
Oh, it's cooler. Much cooler. Chance of rain, possibly. But working in the field, it was beautiful. We had a good day.
Okay, well, welcome to the show. Mary is standing by here. You have a question for Mary?
Yes. Years ago, when I got into meditation, I started out, you know, it was really interesting. Before I got into having visions of past lives, it was like a huge bright orange crystal that was kind of like my first meditation and deep one before I had any others that brought other messages. And I wasn't quite certain if that was just like to prepare me or if there was a certain other meaning to that. to that crystal showing up.
Yeah. Have you had it? Do you see it? Have you seen it since?
No. If I was to use my intuition, it was more like it was preparing me to for a smooth transition into deeper access to messages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it did. It worked. It I think it kind of calmed me and allowed me to focus more.
Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, have you thought that maybe it was also an aspect of you showing itself to you, your higher self?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
something
like a, you know, whatever orange is associated with in spirituality is what I thought of, because I had a friend in the meditation group who was from India, and mm-hmm. I used to study Hindu meditations and stuff. So,
well, that's very powerful. I love that. And, you know, of course, I'm not in your records right now to be able to sort of dig into that with you. But it sounds to me, you know, I didn't get a chance to say this, Douglas, but, you know, I find that I am hearing even when I'm not in the records. That's something that's been happening in the last year or so. So I got a sense for you, Michael, that it was, that was this inner, like your inner light showing itself to you, who you are, your own power. And
opening
that made
up,
you,
right?
Opening up, yes, absolutely. That's really beautiful. Good for you.
Yeah,
wow.
It did. It actually did, because the meditations opened me up. I was looking for answers, and I needed energy and strength because of various things happening that was draining me and causing me certain types of stress. And so I couldn't sit and meditate. I couldn't focus on anything. So when I joined this meditation group, I learned their method of raising your energy before you go into a meditation state. And after that, I learned to be able to get in with just a matter of light, deep breathing and focusing my attention on the energy that I was feeling and experiencing it growing.
Mm-hmm. That's very powerful. That's beautiful. You know, this is all the same thing. I mean, the Akashic Records are not something outside of ourselves. They are mirroring what is already in us, who we are. And so, you know, there are many ways to experience that light. And so, obviously, Michael, you did. And that's wonderful. And meditation can do that. So, you know,
okay.
what I'm wondering also, Michael, has you asked in meditation for, I don't know if you have a name for it for yourself, or it to show itself to you again?
I've had answers through meditation that led me to past lives, and one in particular is very hard to share or talk about, but I shared it with very few friends, you know, that were ready to listen.
Yeah.
But it's a part of who I am now, and this is leading up to the second question about when you receive things. When tapping into the Akashic, sometimes what you see in your life, you want to accept it, but you are among people who are either closed-minded or haven't grounded themselves into a spiritual understanding of themselves or anything around them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was curious about whether you've known people or experienced yourself of getting messages in various ways to kind of reconfirm, and try to help anchor certain messages?
Well, interesting question, because what I was going to ask you is are you writing what you are hearing?
Do?
When you, uh-huh.
But it changed. I think it was the various paths that led me to different types of people who higher or lower vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it aside until such time when I felt more confident and in a space of sanctuary, in a space where I could truly feel the spirit wanting to write or record, you know, without any interruptions or something to that
effect.
So
if you can, mm-hmm. Okay, great. So if you can find pockets of time and space around, you know, I understand that when you're with around individuals, groups of people, you, what happens when we start to expand and we start to see and hear, it can be challenging depending on where we're living, who we're with, whether it's family, whatever. And it's not a judgment on anybody. It's just hard sometimes, and I understand that. I've been through that. What is important is if you can find some time for yourself, wherever that is, maybe nature, best place to be. You probably are already in nature. And write, and no one has to know. Just write and listen and hear, meditate and write. And that will then, that will put you in a place of ease and grace and joy. And whether people are of that vibration or not, practically, it probably won't even matter. I just got a really strong feeling about you writing.
Okay, well, listen, thank you, Michael.
That way.
Thank you, Michael. We have some other people in the queue here, and we had just a few minutes left. So thank you for being part of our show today, Michael. I appreciate that. I hope that Mary
has helped
you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You're very welcome, and thanks for being on the show. Paul, where are we going next?
Douglas, we're going to the 917 area code. 917, hello, you're on the air with Dr. Douglas.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, my goodness. I am calling from New York, and my name is Carmen.
Hi, Carmen.
Hello, Carmen.
I just am calling for a general message. I don't really know what else to say.
So, Carmen, have you been listening to the show tonight, or are you just kind of cruising the internet here and dropping in?
Well, I jumped in a little earlier, and I just listened to the woman that was talking about finding her person
Frank.
Through the Akashic Records. So,
Mary, would you have something for this lovely lady?
Well, so Carmen, we're not in your records. I haven't opened your records. So generally, the information comes through when the person has something they're asking, first of all, and I also am not inside your records, right? So it's usually, you know, I like to say the records are not a positive thing, by the way. They're not a divining rod where we can sort of zero in on something and get a specific answer about that. Would be more like a psychic reading, which are wonderful. This is more of an overview of who you are. And you bring questions, or you bring, it's not just questions and problems. Sometimes we just need affirmations about things that we're having a sense of about ourselves. And that then ignites. Yeah. So, I mean, you could,
so
if you're
I
having a
like,
sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
My romantic life, is that a question we could go into?
Well, I can answer that
for you, Mary.
Go ahead. Thank you, Douglas.
So, mm-hmm. Carmen, you know, like I see you looking, there's some prospects out in front of you. You tend to be a little picky, but you should be as well. I see a tall man with long, dark hair that's in front of you. He's coming towards you. I would be very cautious about this person, but he looks like he's a musician, he's a celebrity, but he has a dark side to him. So whoever's coming towards you, you'll be attracted to him. You may already know him, but you might feel a little bit apprehensive and say, you know, my gut is saying no, but my eyes are saying yes, because he's just, you know, looks amazing. So somebody's coming towards you, and it's okay. Make a list, you know, six qualities in a man that you're looking for, and then say this famous prayer that I've said on the show many times before: God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, from your infinite supply of men, send me one. Or from your infinite supply of people that are going to love me, send me one. The sooner the better. And give me a little cosmic nudge to make me realize that they're in front of me when they show up. And you say that every day, and you have expectations in your mind of meeting somebody, the one. And you have also, you're attractive in your mind by thinking that way, and then you're attractive in the way you look. Can you do that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I'm just, thank you and appreciate it, but I'm just wondering what the lady has to offer, what her offering is.
Well, she doesn't do quite the same way. She does the
right,
Akashic
exactly.
Fields. I'm giving you some sort of clairvoyant message that I'm mm-hmm. seeing right now. That's why I took over. So,
thank you, Douglas.
Mary,
yes.
Mary does something a little different. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, listen, thank mm-hmm. you for being on the show. We're just about out of time. You are lucky. Buy a lottery ticket, because I think you're going to be the last caller tonight. We got somebody in the 404. We might be able to squeeze them in. Thank you very much, Carmen. Take care.
Thank you.
Keep the prayer up. It works. Keep the prayer up, okay? Good night.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Paul, we're going to go to the 404, are we?
Yes, we are. 404 area code. Hello, you're on the air with Dr. Douglas and Doug and Mary.
Hi, Dr. Douglas, Doug, and Mary. Yes,
hi.
I'm just listening, and I'm going to go back and listen to that prayer that you mentioned, Doug. I think it's Doug. I'm not sure. But anyway, like I said, I just tuned in, but I thought, wow. Because I've been thinking about the seven sacred prayers that someone mentioned to me. I said, oh, okay. But my question is, my name is Maddie, by the way, and I'm here in Georgia, Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Georgia. My question is, I have a friend that called me today and said, Maddie, I need your help. What's going on? Somebody took everything. And I didn't get no clarity about what really went on. I say, well, what did you do? I called the cop, but I got a check, and I need you to call Chase Bank. They took my book, my backpack, and Baba, and I say, Chase Bank, well, call my lawyer, and tell me have that check stopped. And I don't know if it was a prank call or it was for real, and that kind of like, what do you want me to do? You call the cops, and that's that. You're on the other side of the city. I'm over on the east side. You're over there on the west side.
Well, I'm not quite.
You pick up energy, what it was real or a prank?
Mary, do you want to try that one?
Do you need the name?
No. I mean, I'm having, this may be more you, Douglas, and maybe we can compare notes. I'm getting a sense it was a prank, but that's just my sense. What are you getting, Douglas?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Thank you, Maddie, for calling in. We're just about out of time, so... the last lady who I thought was to buy a lottery ticket, she was lucky. You're it. You're the last caller for tonight. So thank you very much. We're just about out of time. I'm going to say goodnight to you and wish you well. And your instincts,
you.
Your intuition was probably the same as Mary's right away. So
thank you.
You know, okay.
Yeah,
be safe. Be careful out there. Okay.
Yeah,
thanks for being
exactly.
on the show, Maddie. Okay. Bye-bye. Well, listen, Mary, it's been quite a journey tonight. Again,
yeah.
It's spirittherapybymary.com, and apparently the callers were pushing your intuition tonight too. I'm kind of glad to see that you're up for that. You did very well.
Yeah, well, thank you, Douglas. I think I have to now have a reading with you. So yeah, and
well,
that was really.
Go ahead.
No, that was really lovely how you stepped in. And shared what you were seeing. I love that. I love the ping-ponging. It was wonderful.
Yeah, well, I do this. I do this all the time, and what you do all the time, you're very well at it. You help Michael. You help Doug look at some background as well. We have more callers popping in here now from across the country. Five or six people have dropped the calls because they're just waiting for so long. We apologize, everybody. We are having a few glitches tonight, but Mary will be back, and we're going to have her back on the Zoom version of the show in a week or so. And we'd love to have you back here on our International Global Village Radio Show. You're a delightful guest. You're an extremely talented lady. And, you know, everybody, you know, everybody comes to a certain point in their life where, you know, it's kind of like the Red Sea. You get to that point and you just don't know where to go. There's no place to go. The world's beating you up. You got people chasing you. You're afraid. You're scared. You're all alone. And what's that Red Sea time in your life is to just go straight ahead and your troubles will part. And if you call Mary, she'll be able to give you some reference, some wisdom from the Akashic Records. And the email again is one that we've said a few times tonight. If you wouldn't mind repeating it again, Mary.
Sure. It's adivinerealm@gmail.com.
And the website is, I love the website, it's amazing, spirittherapybymary.com. You know, one last question, Mary, would be, you know, your spiritual, you know, you've succeeded in multiple fields, and you do continue to make significant impacts in people's lives. What do you hope perhaps your legacy will be, and or what are your future plans in the entertainment and in the spiritual fields of guidance? I know we've listed out several of your projects here. You are just a dynamo of creation. You're a creative person from the get-go.
Well,
how would you answer that?
Okay, so legacy is a tough question, but let me answer one of the other ones first. So my entertainment background is now part of my soul's journey as well. So it has now, it's almost like that part of me met the other part of me, which they were always there, but now they're talking to each other, so to speak. So my soul's journey is to storytell and work in the Akashic Records with people. And the storytelling is entertainment on the surface with impactful messaging that you wouldn't even know about, except you leave the theater feeling better, or thinking about yourself better, or thinking about the world better, in a better way. So it's So that's what I'm doing there. I would love to just be known as the person who helped anyone and everyone that I've met, or through my work, or my books, whatever, that they feel better about themselves. Simply that. Like meeting Mary made me feel better about myself. That's really it.
Well,
that feels wonderful. Yeah.
That's a very unselfish and loving thing. That's a very unselfish and loving thing you can say, or that you said. That's impressive. Doug has a question or comment. Go ahead, Doug. Last word.
I have a quick comment, and I'm sort of reluctant to say this, but when you were talking about your book and you said it's almost finished, I just got a flash. In a more generic sense, in terms of a life, it said, no, it's not the beginning. It's never going to end. It's not the end. It's never going to end. It's just the beginning for your life. So that's just what flashed.
Oh, I love that, Doug.
And I just had to say it. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I love that. You know what? That's how it's going to get finished, this part, or this, because there are three books in the works. That's how it's going to happen, is by what you said, Doug. It's the beginning. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Doug's quite intuitive. He has long-range views that are come true over and over again. So just thinking Mary's book, volume one, Mary's book, volume two, Mary's, you know.
Well, let me just say that I before we leave, the second book, and it was my records who showed that, sort of imparted this to me, they said that it shows me going around to sacred sites around the world and opening the Akashic Records of those sites. And that's book two. So
wow.
That's pretty big. Yeah, right?
Wow.
I said wow when I heard it. So it is the beginning.
And, you know, the world needs that right now. So,
yeah.
You're going to come back on, you're going to be back on this show as a regular. I think you're doing amazing work. And Paul will be involved in a Zoom with Jack in next week or so. We'll set that up for you. I'll give Paul, our
wonderful
producer. He's an extremely talented man. He's very experienced in radio. And Paul, do you have a last word before we go? I know I'm kind of bringing you up from behind the microphone to the spotlight here, but
I just wanted to ask Mary about the several upcoming films that she's involved with. If she could just give us a little brief synopsis of what they are and how far along they are at this point.
Well, one is actually revelations from Mary Magdalene herself, but it's I turned it in with a co-writer. I turned it into a modern story, kind of like the Da Vinci Code. And
wow.
So it takes the global issues that are affecting the planet, and it doesn't bang people over the head with it because it's got entertainment on the front, meaning it's, you know, impactful story, and it involves a nun, interesting, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the nun is the main character. Yeah, and a discovery of her manuscript. And it's loosely based on a book that was written involving some actual channelings from Mary Magdalene herself. And it kind of is going to, I'll just be gentle about it, it's going to make us look at things like the church, the Bible, the Vatican, things like that, maybe in a different way. It's a big movie. And how far along? Well, we have some interest outside the United States so far, and so we're just, it takes a while. Getting these movies out it can take long. You know, Dances with Wolves took 10 years, and that was Kevin Costner himself trying to get it out there. So we've got that, and then I'm working with Dia, who Douglas, and she's brought magnificent ideas and stories and books. So too many to discuss here, but we can talk about those the next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see Netflix in your future?
Maybe going around Netflix. I'm not quite sure. have you all heard of The Sound of Freedom, the film?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So they're kind of going around, they got around it because they were not accepted and they couldn't distribute it. The film was finished 5 years ago and they couldn't get a distributor. Netflix turned them down, Amazon, Disney. And there's nothing graphic about it. It is about sex trafficking, but nothing graphic. It's a PG-13. Beautiful film.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the when the credits roll at the end of the movie, they thank their angel investors. The credits roll of all the angel investors for about 10 minutes. That's how many people basically funded the film. So
wow.
They kind of went around the way things are done, and it's a very exciting time right now in the industry. Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, listen, much success to you, Mary. You've been wonderful
having you
on the show here tonight. And again, we'll have you back on a regular basis, perhaps, if you like. And we'll certainly talk to the tomorrow or send an email, and we'll give you a link to this show, and then we'll make arrangements for the upcoming Zoom appearance as well. Thank
wonderful.
You everybody
it's,
for listening. Go ahead. It's wonderful to have you on your
great meeting you all.
And one more time, that magic email address to get a hold of you is
spirittherapybymary.com, and then the email is adivinerealm@gmail.com. thank you all.
Okay. So go send Mary an email right away wherever you are and keep in contact with her. I'm your host and executive producer of the Global Village Radio Show. I'm Douglas James Cottrell. My good friend and co-host is Doug Bentley. The show was produced by Paul Hughes of Hughes Media One. And tonight, make a note for next week. We have some amazing guests coming up, and I'm sure you're going to just fall in love with these guests that are coming to us over the next few weeks. And mark your calendars for next Friday. We have, Paul, do you remember the nice lady who's going to be coming next Friday by any chance?
Actually,
I'm looking for it. I lost my notes here. Anyway.
I'm sorry, Douglas. My microphone, we're having these glitches, and I couldn't get my microphone on.
Oh, gosh.
Unfortunately, I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay, that's like a gunslinger can't get his gun out to have a fast draw here. So anyway, so everybody with that, again, it's a little bit of glitch. It is a full moon weekend, so watch out. And for all of us up here in north of the 49th parallel, happy long weekend where you are across the country. And for those south of the border, I think you have another holiday coming up here soon as well. So God bless you one and all. Stay safe. I want to say goodnight to everyone, and those people who are listening tomorrow in the time zones around the world, please send an email to us, and we'd love to hear your suggestions, your comments. I'll say goodnight to Mary again. God bless Doug Bentley and Paul for helping to produce the show tonight. Good luck, my friends. Stay safe. May God bless you with health, wealth, peace, and prosperity. May abundance be yours. Remember to pray always. Good night. And see you soon. I'm your host, Douglas Cottrell. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.